Matthew 25 talks about those who serve. And Jesus has been telling some parables and teaching to his disciples and others who had gathered around about the kingdom of heaven. And when we come down to verse 14 of chapter 25, he says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And the man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And his master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This morning, I want us to recognize some folks. If you're a veteran, if you have served in the past in some form or fashion our nation as a member of the armed services, I want to ask you to please stand this morning. Now, don't sit down. Don't sit down. If you are presently serving, I want you to also stand. And if you have family members who are presently serving, I'm going to invite you to stand on their behalf this morning that we might recognize you. Thank you. Allow me to pray, please. Heavenly Father, these that stand are a visible illustration to us here of men and women who have sacrificed much in service of this country. And Lord, even some who are serving and sacrificing this very moment. God in heaven, our minds go to those folks on distant fields, knowing that this day, within the next 24 hours, some of them may very well give their lives. Thank you for a spirit of service. Thank you for a willingness. Thank you, Lord, that there is courage when people step up and are willing to serve on behalf of others. I ask your blessing, Lord, upon these who have served and upon these families who have members who are elsewhere. Bless them. Minister to them and through them. Give them your peace and protection. Thank you, Lord, that by their service in years past, our nation can stand today, and we can gather here in freedom and abundance to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for people of sacrifice. Father, we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You know, we have others that serve also. It's one thing to serve our nation. That's important. Sometimes that's urgent. But it's another thing to serve another master. So I'm going to recognize another group of folks. I want to recognize those of you at First Baptist Church who serve in some capacity. It may be singing in a choir. It may be teaching a Sunday school class or being part of a team or a committee or whatever that is. But if you are serving your God through ministry at the First Baptist Church DeLand, would you please stand? Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Some of you will remember the movie Chariots of Fire. 1981 became a blockbuster. At the 1924 Olympics, there were two very distinct runners portrayed in Chariots of Fire. Harold Abrahams was an angry young man with a huge chip on his shoulder. As a Jew, he'd experienced all sorts of discrimination and hardship growing up. And he arrived at these games to make a statement about his own self-worth and his pride. He didn't have the sweetest disposition, and he earned a less than stellar reputation. He employed the best trainers. He worked hard. A bit of trivia you're not aware of. Sam Musabini, who was the coach portrayed in the movie, Harold Abrahams met Sam through Eric Little. He introduced them. Can you imagine? Introduce that great coach to a competitor. Abrahams remained heavily involved in athletics, though he wasn't competing shortly after those Olympic Games, but his entire life he remained involved in other ways. And some consider that Abrahams did more than any other to move athletics and athletes from a minor to a major place of importance in Britain. He died in 1978 at the age of 78. Now, Eric Little, he was a gentle, peaceful man with a huge heart. And as a believer, he was keenly aware of the fact that he represented Jesus Christ. All that he did on the athletic field or elsewhere, he was to allow Jesus to shine through him. Many who knew Eric personally spoke of his uncritical spirit, his deep humility. He genuinely cared for others. Following his college career, he returned to the mission field in China, where his family had been involved his entire life. He went there to join a brother who was a missionary doctor, and they served for a time until the Japanese invaded China. Eric and his other family members were imprisoned. They were interred in a Japanese camp. Another thing that we did not know until the Olympics in Beijing, even his family did not know this. While Eric Little was in that internment camp in China, there was an opportunity for him to be set free in a prisoner exchange. The British thought it would be a good thing to bring that young man, so popular and well-known, back to Britain, to Scotland, where he could encourage the people and the troops. Eric Little, instead of accepting that prisoner exchange and going home, he changed the name on that paper and said, let this woman go, a young woman who is pregnant with a baby, and he let her live. She was free to go. Not long after that, on February 21st, 1945, Eric Little died in that prison camp. He understood the love of God like few of us ever will, and he sacrificed his all in service to others in the name of Jesus. He knew what it was to multiply the talents given him by his master. In one memorable scene, I'll never forget it, the first time I heard it, Eric Little, he's walked up on a hillside with his sister Jenny, and she's upset. She's been missionary service over there in China with the rest of the family, and she's frustrated that Eric wants to run races. And so she's fussing at Eric. Eric, it's so much more important for you to go back to China. That's where God wants you to be. Go back to China with your family. Stop this running. Stop these games. And Eric stood by his sister Jenny, and he began to explain some things to her. He shared these words, Jenny, I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. What God had placed in his life was not to be hidden, buried, or squandered. It was to be used to the fullest that others might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He ran not because he had to, but because of the pleasure it gave his Lord. He saw the bigger picture of how God could use him during this window of opportunity called the Olympics, where he could share that same message of God's love, of salvation in Jesus, from a world stage as the eyes of everyone turned to those Olympic Games, and particularly to his races. God made Eric fast, and he had a definite purpose for his life. What a blessing to be found in the center of that purpose. During the closing scenes of the movie, they put a couple of lines up there, and the first concerns Harold Abrahams, and it reads, Harold married Sybil, became the elder statesman of British athletics, and died in January 1978. Of Eric Little, we read, Eric Little, missionary, died in occupied China at the end of World War II. All of Scotland mourned. What impact of faithful obedience to the Lord. Eric once said that we are all missionaries. Wherever we go, we either bring people nearer to Christ or we repel them from Christ. And this is so true. By our words, our actions, we do one or the other every day. Jesus says in Matthew that the master goes away on a long journey. He gives this parable of these three distinct men. The master goes away on that long journey, but he leaves some of his possessions, he leaves some of his wealth in the hands of three individuals, three servants, men that he's known for a period of time. And this is significant money and property that is left behind. This master knows that someone's got to continue to do some things here, take care of my business affairs, take care of my farm, take care of the family and all of those things that are involved. Someone's got to be responsible. And he counted on these three, thinking that these are men that I can entrust this to and I can give to each according to his own ability. He has expectations of the servants. The amounts put in the charge of the servants, those amounts, that's not what is really important here. Upon his return, the master is most interested, not in the amount of the return, but in the measure of faithful obedience of the servants. All three were capable of faith. All three were capable of obedience, but only two of them displayed that measure of faith and obedience. Each took their master's trust, that money, that property, those resources, and then they doubled the investment. The third man, unfortunately, he had little faith in the goodness of the master, and he treated the resource shamefully. He took what was precious to the master. He went out and dug a hole in the ground. And then that precious treasure of his master was buried and hidden away. He spent no time trying to represent his master. He spent no time using those resources wisely. He gave his task no thought, no thought whatsoever, until the master returned and then asked for the investment back to reconcile the accounts. The words of the master to the first two are equal. Well done. Well done, you guys, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. These aren't the words of a hard man. He rewards faithful and obedient servants. That's what he wanted to do all along. He allows us to share his pleasure. I believe that these two men that Jesus described, that he describes in this parable, could easily share Eric Little's attitude: when I run, I feel his pleasure. We're blessed by many who serve one another in this community with the attitude that Jesus expects. There's a faith in him to accomplish through us as we're obedient to him. The treasures and the talents, they belong to the master. Those are all the master's. They're not ours. They're just loaned to us for a very brief time as we walk this earth. What we do with those treasures, what we do with those resources, those talents that God places in our hands, is purely up to us. We have the choice. You know, some folks forget the master-servant relationship. They forget that those possessions, those things have been placed in their hands for a purpose designed by God. And they may serve, but they do it begrudgingly, and they kind of grunt through the work. But they'll never be able to honestly say, when I run, I feel his pleasure. Their service is done with complaints and a critical spirit all along the way. And how sad that they've missed sharing in the master's happiness. Now, many others, thank God, many others understand what it means to serve. It's not about them. It's not about their pride or their successes and their failures. It's all in the hands of God. It's about being obedient. It's about using those resources entrusted to them, those gifts that they've been granted for a time, and to use all of those for God's glory. We don't count noses as an indicator of rewarded faithfulness, or even consider those warm, fuzzy feelings to be really reliable measuring sticks of faith. You know, it's entirely possible to run and feel his pleasure, even when the running takes our breath away. It's possible to be about that task and be serving and running and working hard at it, even when halfway through the race we feel the pain and we feel that aching come into our bodies. This past Wednesday evening I spoke regarding where are the tears. We thought about Jesus as he came toward Jerusalem. He had already been through Jericho and Bethany and Bethphage, and he's coming toward Jerusalem, and he rounds that last curve, and he hits that home stretch, and there's that jeweled city ahead. And the Bible says that when he saw Jerusalem, he wept. He wept. Not for himself, because we know that all along the way, even though he had Calvary's hillside before him, even though he knew he would suffer and be beaten and rejected by his own people, even though he understood the purpose and meaning of the cross and all that that entailed, even though he knew that his Father in heaven would forsake him. Jesus saw the city of Jerusalem and he wept for us. He wept for those countless, countless souls who still didn't know him as Savior. You know fully well that as he came into that city, what was going through his mind? Was he tired? Absolutely. Was he stressed? Did he feel the pressure and the burden of all that was before him? The disciples didn't have a clue. They wanted to crown him king, but Jesus knew. And yet in all of that, here he was able to make preparations and do all of the little things and gather his disciples with him and celebrate the Passover and pray for them and bless them and minister to them and wash their feet and care for them and even invite them to go out and pray with him for a little while. These were the things that he had come to do. And as he ran, as Jesus served, he felt the pleasure of his Father. To be nestled in the hollow of Jehovah God's hand, even while facing difficulty, is so much better than coasting along with ease, far removed from the center of God's will. This is what true servants learn, and for that they're rewarded with words like, well done, good and faithful servant. For all the questions that you may have about tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, may I remind you something? May I remind you that God never expected you to come up with all of the answers and all of the pieces necessary to figure this out on your own. He didn't expect you to do anything in your own strength. He's called his servants together to place in your hands, to loan you for just a brief moment in eternity, his sufficient resources with which to honor him, with which to get the job done. All that he requires of us is that obedience to represent him as we conduct our affairs. And never forget that when he returns, he's looking to find us faithful about his business and not about our own. Don't squander, forget, misrepresent, hoard, or bury what he has left with you. Be faithful in the small things, in those little things, and trust God to then put you in charge of bigger, larger things according to his will and his purpose. Only then will you be able to share in the master's happiness. Release the past. Open the eyes of your heart to the present and know that the future, it belongs to God. And ask yourself along the way from time to time this simple question. When I run, do I feel his pleasure? Your mission, like the mission that he shared 2,000 years ago with that early church, the mission that has been the body of Christ's mission all through these ages, is to speak the good news of Christ, to announce the salvation of God, to let people know about the gospel of peace and all that God wants for them, his deep, powerful, unfailing love. That's our mission. That's primary. Do this one thing over and over and over again. Focus on that which the church has been called to do. Don't let anything steal your eyes away from what God has called that goal that is before us in this race in life. Allow God to be God Don't try to fix things, but instead let him heal you one heart at a time. Practice stepping out of his way. Practice that. Let him lead. Let him wrap you up in his forgiving arms. He does that so well too. Barbara and I want to thank you for inviting us to share our lives with you this past year. You've been a blessing, and we're better for our time spent with you. We thank you for that. We've got so many kind and wonderful people here. You know, a piece of our heart remains here with you. As we come to mind in the days ahead, would you pray for us? Would you just lift us to the Lord as we continue to seek out his sweet purpose and will? And we'll do the same for you. I want to close with this final scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul wrote to this young son in the faith. He said, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Now run to feel his pleasure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We're no different than these men that you point out in Matthew 25. God, we look to you for those things that you loan us for a brief time, to be able to use those things and multiply those resources, those talents, possessions, for your honor and your praise. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we will learn day by day as we grow in Christ Jesus truly what it means to be able to say, when I run, I feel his pleasure. Thank you, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you this morning to hymn number 567. 567. This is a time of just commitment or recommitment, or those who might want to know something more about salvation, baptism. This is a time for you, those who might want to become part of the First Baptist Church family here at DeLand. This is a time for you. But let's stand together as Noel comes to lead us. 567.
Expanse, 'tis deeper and wider than the sea. Love reaches out to all to bring abundant life. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. Share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love. Trusted in God's only Son and hold this precious treasure in their hearts. Seek ways to make it known to all who need to know that God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. Share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love by sharing of your faith. presence in our lives, and how the Holy Spirit guides us day by day. For God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. Share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment. As you're amazing, I want to take just a second to say a word of thank you to Steve Manuel and Barbara as well. We appreciate all that you have done here. You have become part of us, and we appreciate the words from the pulpit and the times that you have spent in visitation and the many, many hours that you have spent in committee meetings and doing things that push us as a body towards our ultimate goal of unity and reaching souls for Jesus Christ. So, Steve, thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we honor you. We're so grateful to you. We don't deserve you, but you love us in spite of ourselves. Thank you. Pray your blessing, Father, on each one of these dear folks. Pray your blessing upon this congregation, that it'll continue to be that beacon that it has been these many, many years throughout the history of the city of DeLand. God, we only want to see you honored, Jesus Christ glorified through witness, and this body built up and encouraged. For we ask those things in Christ's name. Amen.